Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday and welcome to Yah's Global Kingdom Tuesday night business meeting. I'm Brother Miles and I will be presiding. I want to welcome everybody in Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. Let me open up your phone lines here and want to say happy Thursday. Shalom, family.
Shalom, Brother
Miles. Shalom.
Amen. How is everyone today?
Great.
Cool.
Has the weather broken up there yet?
No, but they say it's on the way. It's still kind of cold.
Better days? It's supposed to what, warm up or what?
Well, it's supposed to start snowing and raining and icing and thundering and lightning.
Supposed to stop or start?
Start.
Start. When did it stop?
Yeah. I don't know.
Never.
I really don't know.
Just a continuation, right?
Just a continuation.
Amen.
But it's not as cold as it.
It's not as cold?
No.
Well, that's a good consolation.
No, yeah, that is something.
Yeah, it's almost heating up too fast here. I was out. I added, I sent out a text. Some of you may have gotten it already. I think, Sister Mary, you probably just got it. Sent out a text with a picture of the second grow room that I added into the sunroom.
Uh-huh.
So, and I'll send out some other pictures of the plants that I'll send out somewhere. I cleaned out the actual hydroponic unit. I thinned it out, and then I'll send out one, you know, somewhere. I want to show that this lettuce will keep growing like a plant. It'll keep growing up like a stalk.
Uh-huh.
And do its harvest. You know, you could just harvest the bottom leaves on them. But I'm going to have to remove them from this hydroponic unit because one plant just went crazy. It's just growing all over the place. And the other ones, you know, they just need to be thinned out. And then, you know, I need to stay on top of actually harvesting them. As I said, this is more so like for these types of plants, if you want to eat fresh.
Okay.
I'm not really sure that I can get enough. I'm not growing enough of them to pull enough off at one time to, you know, to warrant freeze drying them or vacuum packing them. So I think it's as, you know, we want a salad or whatever, fresh greens for salad, then we would just pull them off of here. Then later on, if we grow more in bulk, then, you know, enough to, I want to see if anything, if you call yourself going into this for a business, anything that you don't sell, if it's a write-off. I just got to do that for farmers. That way, if we have plants that don't sell or, you know, produce that doesn't sell, I wonder if it can be, you know, if I keep track of it, if it can be written off. So let's say we're selling it for just a dollar, just to have a number. If, you know, each one that doesn't sell, whether if I keep track of it, whether I could write that off the taxes. But just, you know, something I need to look into. All right, so we are doing the Thursday night business meeting. Sister Mary, no, I asked you already. Sister Denise or Sister Rachel, did you get a picture from me?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
All right, amen. So that picture should show the second grow room. I'm going to try to make room to add one more in this sunroom. I might have to move my refrigerator. I might move back inside. Right now it's out in the sunroom, so and it's like a, you know, a second refrigerator for the house, but I'm thinking I may move it back in if I can find a place for it, and that will give me room to put up this last grow room. And they're like 4 feet by 8 feet. So they're 4 feet by 4 feet deep, 8 feet wide, and about I think almost 7 feet, 6.5 or 7 feet tall. So they're not small. But this, you know, what I'm going to dedicate to the microgreens. And, you know, start to really get on top of that. And I was, I uploaded some pictures of the land. I tried to send them out, but, you know, saying it was too large for the text. So after I cataloged them on the website, I will send out a link to them, and you can just click on the website and see the pictures of the land so that we don't lose sight of it, that kind of thing. And I can't wait. I hear y'all talking about snow and sleet and ice, and this everything here starting
and
to turn
green. And thunder and lightning.
Yeah. No, y'all can have that. I'm sure that eventually we'll get our share of it as well. Well, you know, here in the valley, we just don't get a whole lot of rain. We've had a whole lot more rain this year than we usually have, but as far as severe thunderstorms, only during hurricane season, and then it's the aftermath of those hurricanes that may come up through Mexico.
Right.
We'll get, you know, maybe some bad rains out of that every now and again. But yeah, it usually dies out here in the valley. So we are in, let me make sure I pull up this document. Everybody been working on their questions for spiritual wellness?
Yes, we have.
Very good. As I was digging deeper into that, I think Sunday I want to propose something that I think the Most High told me this a while back, but I didn't hold on to it. But as I was looking at it again, it's like he brought it back to my remembrance. And I don't think I asked you guys the question, so I may send it out, or I may give it to you tonight. I probably need to send it out so everybody has it, because I don't think I asked the question how long were they in slavery in Egypt? I asked how long they were, you know, they were in Egypt after Jacob entered in, but I don't think I asked the question, how long were they in slavery? But I did send you a video that kind of explained it. Anybody look at that video?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the video, you know, I've had that for a minute, and a lot of Hebrews don't like it because it was a Gentile that did it. Say, hey, I don't care who did it. Show me one a Hebrew did, I'll use that if it's accurate. But I think the Most High showed me something else, and it's in one of the questions that I ask you. I'm just going to see who picks up on it. See if you ask the question. Because some of those questions are designed so that you have to ask a question. You know, you can't just answer it. You have to ask and sort of think about, well, why does it or doesn't it say that? But anyway, we'll get into that on Sunday. Let's see. We're in discipline. We're in Section C. Section 6, let me go back, I'm too far. I believe it's Section 6, Article 6, Section C. Yeah, that's where we're at. Okay, so let's do this. Let's go ahead and start. I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right, amen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed say nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is officially in order. And let me get our statement of faith. I forgot I shut down my computer and it shut down and closed all these documents that I usually have open. Okay, and let me find my statement of faith. All right, let's do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and we will proceed with this session, this meeting. Our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies uncover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. No matter where you may be listening at, if you're listening online, cover your heads or uncover your heads as appropriate. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Most High, Elohim, our Redeemer, a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you and magnify you and lift you up on today, Father. We come before you, Father, to conduct your business. Father, we ask that you would be in this meeting and that you would be amongst us. Good God, lead us and direct our paths. Hallelujah to you, Father. And we just thank you for giving us our mind to be on you, Father, at all times. In Yeshua's name, hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. We thank you,
Father. Thank you.
Hallelujah. All right. Let us go to Psalms 133. The book of Psalms, 133. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, a song of degree, degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descends upon the mounts of Zion, for there Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And, you know, I think I need to come up with a better agenda for this meeting so that it's, not that it's not structured, but, you know, even more so structured. Things that we just cover, begin to cover all the time. And I'll send it out because it's coming up where we're going to need to start tracking more the land and progress and stuff that we're making. I want to include in this business meeting any monies earned or spent toward, you know, creating and bringing up this microgreen business, include those financials in this, so forth and so on, so that we can have a record of it. So I'll sit down and think about the format of the agenda and things that we will always discuss or get a report on. Right now it's the bylaws. Okay. So right now it's the bylaws. All right. Let's see if Sister Rachel can come back in. Look like she dropped off. Okay. We are in Article 6, Section D, and we're talking about discipline in the bylaws. And let me see if I can I think we were in subparagraph 2. We did subparagraph 1. And so we were getting ready to start subparagraph 2 in the bylaws concerning this division, divisive person shall be confronted according to the pattern outlined in Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. At least two elders or those whom they designate shall meet with the divisive person and warn him or her to repent. If the person does not repent, at least two elders or those whom they designate shall meet with him or her again and warn him or her a second time. If the person still refuses to repent of his or her sin of divisiveness, and this is causing division, for the sake of causing division, and let me add this word in here. Okay, the Zaquin or the elders at either regular or special meetings may excommunicate him or her. All right, so let's go to Titus chapter 9, chapter 3, my bad, Titus chapter 3. The book of Titus, chapter 3, and we're going to get verses 9 through 11. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, but foolish questions and genealogies and strifes and contentions about the law shun, for they are unprofitable and vain. Now, foolish questions, you know, I think that has to be in regard, because there is, I think this is situational and has to apply to and be implemented according to each individual. Somebody that's new to the word, I say there's no such thing as a foolish question. If they genuinely want to know. You know, it's always taught that the only foolish question is one, what one does not ask. And so foolishness is when somebody has been in the word, what I'm going to call a minute, and or somebody says something crazy like, should we bow down to the devil? That's a foolish question. You know, and I'm making up something here just to, you know, for example's sake. Because anybody in their right mind would know that if we serve the Most High, we're not going to bow down to the devil. So to me, that would be somebody asking something, really trying to be funny. And I don't think that that would be really funny. genealogies. So, well, let me make sure I cover this thing on questions. So to me, this has to do with, you know, I will take into account how long the person has been in the walk, what their demeanor is. Do they always ask, you know, crazy type questions? For me, I would rather somebody ask the question than not ask it, unless I say, you know, they've been in this walk for a minute, and then they start asking just crazy type questions. Like, they know that people should get baptized, so they want to ask, well, do people really need to be baptized? Well, you've been in this walk more than a minute, and I know you know the answer to that, so why are you asking? What is, you know, the purpose of your question? Now, if they're asking it for the sake of somebody else, maybe they've been in a, you know, they've been in a discussion with someone that in their family or whomever, and it's a serious question. And, you know, if they've been in this walk for a minute, I'm going to expect that they should be able to answer that question from the scriptures, at least from the teachings. And if it goes beyond the teachings, then, of course, ask the question. Because, you know, you can't cover everything, every situation in teachings. But, you know, some circumstances may come up where the person feel like, hey, I got a valid question in this area, and by all means, ask. What I find is where I find strange is when people don't question even what they're reading in Scripture. Because the Most High said to prove him. Prove what? All things. So if you read something in the Scripture, you can take, you know, the Scripture at its word or verbatim, but the Most High really wants to increase your faith by you proving it. Because when you prove it, you know, if somebody asks you something that's, they say is in the word, if you can take them to the in the word to it, then it's much better than it just coming from your head. Because then now they can't say you said it. Here it is right here in the word. Like, so I'll give you an example. I sent out the video that explains, you know, the 400 years and that Israel was not in Egypt physically, Jacob and his sons physically in Egypt 400 years. So what does the scripture mean by that? Okay. And then so one of the sisters replied and said, hey, you can't start any prophecy by when a promise was made to Abraham. I said, and why not? So let's go to Galatians chapter 3. And I just want to get your understanding of these verses we're about to read, and just to make a point. Galatians chapter 3. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right. And Sister Denise, let me have you to read verse 16. You still there, Sister Denise?
Now to Abraham and his seed for the promised land, he said not. He said not, and to seed as of many, as of one.
Okay, is your mouth away from your phone? Because I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yes, it is. I got it on speaker, so let me turn this off.
Okay, if you just put it to your mouth, you can go ahead and keep it on speakerphone, but it should come in clearer.
Okay. Now, can you hear me now?
I can.
now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise made. He said not, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to the faith thy seed, which is Christ.
Okay. Let me, Sister Mary,
yes.
Can you tell me what that verse means to you, what it says to you?
Okay, that the promise was made to Abraham and his seed. That means
okay, and
Abraham
do we know what promise was?
Pardon me?
Do we know what promise that was?
That he, that's not even it. Okay, let me get it down. That he would be a father of many nations.
That's one of them. And what part of that promise has to do with circumcision?
The circumcision is between the father and his people.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. The circumcision, it is between the father and his people, but it's a specific type of promise. Okay. The part that has to do with circumcision is everywhere that you footstep, I'm going to give that land to you and your descendants.
Okay.
And that covenant that he entered into with him was that because of that, all your male descendants have to be circumcised to receive that promise. So that the circumcision is what actually, that covenant is what actually guarantees Israel and authorizes Israel to the land. Specifically to the land. So I'll see if I can find that so that we can, again, we don't say Brother Miles said. Okay, but let's continue right here. You remember reading that?
I remember reading that. I'm trying to find it too.
Yeah, I believe it would be somewhere in Genesis. But I'll find it here shortly. So if we look at this verse, it says, but to Abraham were the promises addressed and to his seed. And he does not say to seed as in many, but as of one. So this promise is to Messiah, really, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ.
I think I found
now,
it, Brother Miles. I think it's...
Go ahead.
I think it's Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 through... I want to say 10 through... 13, I think.
Okay. Let's see. Let's start in, let's just start in verse 1. Amen?
Okay.
And when you both have it, say amen. So I know we're all on the same page.
Amen.
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 All right. And Sister Rachel keeps dropping. Maybe she's having phone troubles, but we're going to go ahead and proceed. And Abraham was 99 years old. And I'm in the Derby version, let me get in the KJV. And Abraham was 99 years old. Yah appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty Elohim. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you, or me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. So the Most High is already telling him he's going to give make a covenant with him, right? Between me and you. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, with you, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. So that is one promise right there. Okay? Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. So Abraham also receives a name change. Abram receives a name change from Abram to Abraham. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. So this is supposed to be for an forever covenant, to be an Elohim unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So that's another promise. The Most High says, whoever comes up under this covenant, I will be their Elohim or their God. Okay? And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. And Elohim said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be what?
Circumcised.
This ties them to the land. It ties them to the Most High being our Elohim, and us being his people, and Abraham being made many nations. Okay, and he's going to give us the land of Canaan, which was actually controlled by the Canaanites. Okay, and so verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. And Elohim said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you. Thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money or of a stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised. So anybody that is born in Abraham's house at this time, or that he buys with money, if they're a male, they have to be what? Circumcised. Okay. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Okay. So that's the covenant. That's the promise spoken of in Galatians chapter 3. So let's go back there. So we know what the promise is now, right? Can I be heard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
Any doubt as to what this covenant, this promise is all about?
No.
Okay. Go back to Galatians, chapter 3, verse 16. So when we read verse 16 again, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, and he says not to seed, and he didn't say seed, he said seed, as many, as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant, that same covenant we just talked about, that was confirmed before Elohim in Christ, the law. Now the law was given to who?
Moses.
To Moses. So now we went from the covenant and the promises in verse 16 that was given to Abraham. And in verse 17, we're now talking about the covenant and the law that was given to Moses. Can we catch that?
Yeah.
Okay. Which was how many years after the promise that was given to Abraham?
430 years.
430 years. So the Most High gave Abraham a promise, a covenant, saying, I'll make you a father of many nations, and I'm going to be your Elohim, and I'm going to be the Elohim of your descendants, and I'm going to give you all the land of Canaan. And the covenant, the promises, those promises are sealed in this covenant that I'm making with you. That all, you know, this is the sign of the covenant, that all your males, whether they are born in your household or bought, will be circumcised, and it would be to all your descendants. It says that 430 years after he made that promise to Abraham, the law was given to Moses. So it says, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before Elohim in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after the promise given to Abraham, cannot disannul. It cannot annul the promise that was given to Abraham, that it should make the promise of none effect. So the law can't cancel out the promise that the Most High made to Abraham and his descendants. But what we want to glean from here is that the law was given 430 years after the promise was made to Abraham. So that when we read in Exodus that they left 430 years to the day, when did that time frame start?
Okay, let me talk in.
Hmm?
It started... Okay, Moses, I mean Moses. Abraham was 99 when he made the promise. 400. Give me a minute. You want to know how many? Okay, 331 years in between that time? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, I asked, when was the promise, when did the 430 years start? We got 430 years we got to count for, right?
Oh, it started when Abraham was 99 years old.
When he was 99 years old. That's when the Most High gave him the promise, right?
Right.
And the scripture is telling us 430 years later in Galatians chapter 3, verse 17, is telling us that 430 years after Abraham received the promise, the law was given. So if Israel left out of Egypt 430 years to the date, they left out of Egypt 430 years to the date after what?
After they were in slavery?
Not after they were in slavery.
No.
430 years after the Most High gave the promise to Abraham.
Okay, and I just wrote that down, too. Hello.
Read what you wrote.
I know, huh?
Yeah. 430 years, the Most High gave Abraham a promise. And then 430 years later, Moses received the law.
The law.
At Mount Sinai.
Oh, I didn't put it.
That's where he got it at, right?
Abraham, yeah.
So it tells us that Israel, it tells us, there's some couple of things we can tie to this. It tells us that in Exodus, it tells us that Israel sojourned in Egypt how many years?
7 Hold on. 215.
Well, let's not split it up yet.
Can't do that.
Okay? Because see, that's something you got to calculate. We're
yeah,
gonna
I
go,
did.
Right now, we're just going to go with what the scripture says, okay?
Okay.
So let's go to Exodus chapter 12.
Am I jumping the gun?
Yeah, you sort of went in and you're trying to figure out something else, and I just want to make sure that we understand where this 430 years is coming from, how they tie together. Then we can look at it and say, okay, here's the thing, okay. When you really start sitting down and figuring out these ages, if you figure it by what you have in the scriptures, you're not going to come up with 430 years.
Right.
You're not going to come up with 430 years, and that should raise a what? A red flag. Right, it should make you question. Most High, you said it was 430 years. And so if I can't go from the time that Jacob entered the land until Moses brought them out, there's going to come up some missing years there. But it says their total time in Egypt was 430 years. But when you do the math, then you don't come up to 430 years. So that should raise a red flag because you get, you know, wonder, well, let's just read these verses first and then I'll sort of break it down. So we had Exodus chapter 12, verses 40. And everybody there say amen.
Amen.
And we're going to read 40 and 41. Now, the sojourning, the visitation, that's what sojourning means, to visit, to rest. The sojourning, it doesn't say slavery, does it?
No.
And when you look up that word, sojourning don't equal slavery. It's like you go on vacation, you went somewhere and stayed, or you moved somewhere and you stayed there. Okay? Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. That's how long they were there. But if you start counting at Jacob, and you're given the lineage of Jacob and his sons and their sons, then if you write that stuff down, then you'll see that, wait a minute, it's telling me some things in the scriptures, but if I use their ages, I can't come up with 430 years. People assume some things. But you can't come up with 430 years that from the time Jacob entered into Egypt until Moses delivered them. So a red flag should go up and say, are the scriptures wrong? Did somebody make a mistake? But then Galatians tells us we don't start from the time that Jacob came into Egypt. What did Galatians tell us at that time started?
When he gave it to Abraham.
When he gave the promise to Abraham. That's when the clock started. Did I lose anybody?
No.
Not yet.
Okay, so we can't start. If we go from Jacob, and when he entered in, and when Levi, you know, and when his 12 sons entered into Egypt, you cannot come up with 430 years. It just doesn't work. So people assume that when it says that let's go there. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. Now, you got that the Most High said that their total sojourning there was 430 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 41 it said, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the self same day to the day that the Most High gave Abraham the promise, they came out of Egypt. So let's say that happened on the 1st of March, whatever year. On the 1st of March or the 1st of the month, well, it had to be that day. Whatever the day that the Most High brought them out of Egypt was the same day that he gave Abraham the promise 430 years earlier. Because it says to the self, same what? Day. So that had to be the first, it had to be the Passover, really not the first of Nisan, but the Passover. Because he brought them out and gave them the Passover, right?
Right.
That same night. He says, put the blood on your doorpost. I'm going to come to them and kill the firstborn of Egypt. And they left that night, which was Passover. So the Most High made a promise to Abraham on his future what? Passover. Did we get that? Because it was the self-same what? Day. It was the exact same day. 430 years later. Okay. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass, and all the hosts of Yah went out from the land of Egypt. Okay. So the self same day that he gave the promise to Abraham, 430 years later, Israel leaves Egypt. And that's what Galatians is telling us. The promise was given to Abraham. And then 430 years later, the law was given. Moses gave them the law at Mount Sinai, the second month after they left Egypt. So let's go to Exodus chapter 1. And I want you to think about some things as you're reading this and as you're studying. I gave you the video, and the video will put you in the ballpark, but there's some other things that I saw in here that we need to question that they didn't question even in the video. So it says, and everybody at Exodus chapter 1?
Amen.
Amen. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph and all his brethren and all that generation. And Joseph did what?
He died.
And who else died?
all his brethren.
And who else?
And Jacob.
No, what does it say in the scripture?
Okay. And all the children of Israel. No, I don't know what you're talking about. All that generation.
All that generation. Yeah, always stick with the scripture. And Joseph died. And all his brethren that came into Egypt died. And all the children and all that generation that were his brothers, his cousins, they died. So we're given something here. So let's go back to... You should underline that. Because there are some people that were given genealogy, but they're not part of the 70. So all of the 70 that came in with them, what? They died.
They died.
Okay. Let's go to, I think it's Genesis 50. No, 47, 40, let me see, 40. Genesis 47. Let me see if the genealogy is here.
47?
Yeah. Before I have you go there, though, let me make sure that I'm seeing the genealogy might not be until 48. He's already there, so maybe it's 46. It's in 46. Let's go to Genesis chapter 46.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And let's pick it up at verse 7. Just sort of walking you through this so you can, there's some things that you should be looking for. Because he told you in Exodus chapter 1, that Joseph and all his brethren and all that generation died, right?
Yeah.
And so what you would have to do in Genesis 46 is giving you all the sons that he brought with him, right? Let's start in verse 6. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and they came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, and his son's sons with him, his daughters and his son's daughters, and all his seed throughout, all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Now, when you go through here, and you start looking at who the actual names that came in with him, okay? Then when you, and I would say I memorize this or anything, but it's important. Why? Because it's saying all these people right here in Exodus chapter 1 died. Here, can we understand that right there?
Yeah.
Ooh.
All these people that are named here in Exodus chapter 1, time goes by and it just reports that they all what?
God. So that means that Reuben and his sons died, Simeon and his sons died, Levi and his sons died, and daughters, whatever. Judah and his sons died. Okay, I got it.
Got it?
I got it.
Okay. Now, I want you to go up, and we're going to pick on one name, okay, because this is important. And this is just sort of how I do it. But, you know, the Most High has to bring it to me to even do it, though. So let's see, Rachel, we got Levi, we got, we need to know who Moses' father is. Does the scripture tell us who his father is?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's of Levi.
Right, he's a child of Levi, but what is his father's name?
Amram, I can't pronounce it. Amram, A-M-R-A-M, I think that's how you spell it.
Amram?
Yeah.
Okay, Amram is Moses' father. Who is Amram's father?
Cohen.
Okay, look and see in this list in Genesis 46, do you find Koheth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, does it mention Amram being one of his sons?
No, it does not.
So Amram is not born at this time.
Okay.
And he's not part of the original that came in.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So Amram is not one of the ones that died in Exodus chapter 1. He's not even born yet. And it told us who died, all those who came in with him, with Jacob. So Amram's in the what? Next generation. Did I lose anybody?
No.
Now, here's the issue. We're not told exactly in the scriptures how old Kohath was when he had Amram.
Right.
So then now that's where you have to start playing with numbers. And you can do what ifs. Because you're not given an exact. But you can make some assumptions. One of the assumptions you can make is that if Kohath is one of the original that came in, and his son, which was not born when they came in, and his son is Moses' father, do you think that Amram, or do you think that Kohath lived to be 200 years old?
No, I don't think so.
Let me see if I found, I got his age. Did I find that in the scriptures?
Okay.
Let's go to Exodus 6. See if I found that. Where I found that at. Exodus 6. And 20.
Okay.
Okay. The scriptures tell us that in Exodus 6:20, how many years did Amram live?
He was 100 and something. Let me find him.
Let's get Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. I found how old Kohath was too, how many years he lived.
I found that out too. But I got to find it in the book.
Here it is, Exodus 6 and 18. Exodus 6, verse 18. And get that for me. Sister Denise got the one for Amram. Sister Mary, get the one for Kohath.
And the sons of Kohath, Amram, and Izhar, and Hebron, and Uzzah, I can't pronounce them, in the years of their life of Kohath was 133 years.
So Kohath lived to be 133 years old. Amram, his son, lived to be 137. Now, do we think that Kohath had Amram at the age of 5?
No.
Okay. We think he had him at the age of 10. And I'm asking these questions being facetious because there's some assumptions that there's a deduction that we go through here, okay? Probably didn't have him at 5. He probably didn't have him at 10. He could have had him at 15 or 20. Could have. So if you start with, let's say, likely he didn't have him at 15 or 20, though. But let's just say 20. Then if we say, let's do this. Write down Kohath 20. And we're not saying that this is what happened. We're just saying that we're not given the age that he actually had Amram. But if he had him at 20... And Amram lived to be 137 years old. Then, had Kohath lived, he would have had to been, what, 157 years old when his own son would have died? Because it says Amram lived how many years?
137 years.
So if his father was 20 years old when he had him, and this is a what if, okay? It's not a fact. Then his father, in order to see his son's death, he would have to live to be what, 157 years old? 20 plus 137, right?
Right.
Okay. Whatever, what we have to do here is say, okay, however old Kohath was when he had Amram, let's just say he was 65. Let's give him half of his lifespan. He lived 133, so that's 65, 66. Let's say 66 years old. If he had him at 66, then when Kohath died, Kohath would have died at 33?
Yes.
Okay. 66 years, that's 7, 6, that's, let's see, 13, that's 7, that'd be 12, that'd be 6. That means that if Cole has had, if he had Amram at 66, when Kohath died, Amram would have been 67. Did you see how I got that number?
Yeah.
Okay. So Amram would have been 67.
Right.
At his father's death, if he was born, if he had him at 66. Let's say that Kohath had Amram. Now, let's say Amram had Moses before he was 67. Because surely his grandfather probably wouldn't want to see his grandson. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Not saying he did. But I would say if Amram was 67 when his father died, let's say that Amram had Moses. We're just going to throw a number out there. Let's say he had him at 50, okay? And I'm just, because we're not given that exact age, right?
Right.
So we're just doing some what ifs. As we can, you know, we can still do the math. So if Amram had Moses at 50, that means Moses would have been 17 years old when Kohath died. And Amram would be 67 at that age. Moses would have been maybe he didn't know him, but Moses didn't grow up in Amram's house, did he?
No. He grew up in Pharaoh's house.
He grew up in Pharaoh's house. But still, if his father had him at 50, his father would have been 67 when Moses was 17. So if we say that, then at his father's death, his father lived to be 100 and what, 37?
137.
Okay, and if he had him at 50, that means that he would have lived 87 years after Moses was born. So 87 years, if he had him at 50, then Moses would have been 87 at his father's death.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that wouldn't line up with the scriptures, because Moses at 40, he left, well, that probably wouldn't make a difference. Moses left Egypt at what age?
I think he was around 40.
40 years old. And he came back when he was what?
80.
80. So, if Amram had Moses at 50, that means Amram would have been 90 when Moses was 40. When Moses left, and this is what ifs, okay? If Amram was 50 when he had Moses, when he produced Moses, when Moses left Egypt, Amram would have been 90.
90.
Okay. And then when Moses came back 40 years later, 90 plus 40 is 130. Amram mm-hmm. could have still been alive because he lived to be what? 137.
137.
Wasn't Amram, he lived to be, Amram lived to be 137.
Right.
Right.
So Moses would have came back into Egypt, and Amram would have been 130 years old. That means Amram could have left Egypt with them. Could have, if that was the age. Okay. Now, everything that I read said that Amram died in Egypt. I couldn't find a source for that. But if Amram died in Egypt, that means that when Moses returned at 80 years old, Amram had to already be dead. So that would mean that he would have to have had Moses younger than 50. He would have, if he died the same year Moses came back, the oldest he could have been would be what? 43. When he had Moses. How did I get that? Because if Moses was 80 and he had him at 50, then when he came back, then he would have been 130. We subtract 7 years from that. Then we get 43. That means that the year Moses came back, Amram would have died and wouldn't have left Egypt with them. Does that make sense? He would be dead. So let's do 43, age 43. If he was 43 when he had him, if Moses left at age 40, he would have been 83 when Moses left Egypt. And then 137 minus 83. That's 4. That's 12. 8. That's 4.
No.
He would have been 54.
Yeah, he would have been, well, I'm trying to see what his age would have been when Moses came back, trying to verify the math.
Whoa.
So if he was 43 when he had Moses.
Right.
And Moses left when he was 40, that means Amram would have been what, 83?
83.
Yep.
Okay. And then Moses was gone for 40 years. So that would have been 123.
123.
Yeah, so that means that he would have been younger when Moses came back. So we need to go the other way. I need to not subtract 7 years. I need to add 7 years to 50. So let's say if he was 57, that means when Moses left Egypt at 40, Amram would have been what, 97?
Right.
Okay, and then we take 137 and subtract 97, 0, 12, that's 3. That means that he would have died 10 years prior to Moses coming back, because he'd have been 130 when he'd have been, did I do that right? 30 years. Moses was gone for 40. Yeah, so he would have been dead 10 years. And I'm just playing with numbers. We understand that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So if he was dead when Moses came back, the thing we got to look at here is we don't know how old Kohath was when they came into Egypt. But we know that he only lived to be 133 years old, right?
Yeah.
So if we say he was a newborn, when they came into Egypt, that means that he would have lived 133 years in Egypt. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then his son, Amram, if he had Amram, and let's just say at 66, if he had Amram at 66, then that's 67 years, 66. So Amram would be 67 years old when his father died, Kohath, and he lived another 70 years, so 137.
Right.
That would mean the total time that they would have been in, that they would have been in Egypt is 133, doing this reckoning like this, 133 plus the 70 years for Amram, you come up to what, 203.
Mm-hmm.
Are we close to the reckoning that, that they did in that video?
No.
Yeah, we
close.
In the video, they came up with 215 years, right?
Yes.
Right.
We're coming up, and we're just doing some what ifs. We're coming up with 203. So we're close. We're not hundreds of years off. See what I'm doing here?
I do.
Okay. So we know Kohath came in with Jacob, right? He came in with Jacob. We don't know how old he was, but we say if he was an infant, not even a year old, that means he would have lived 133 years in Egypt. We're still together, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And he had a son. We don't know at what age he really had his son. But we just can't, we just said 66, half of his lifetime. Okay. So if he had his son at 66, his son lived to be 137 years old. If we add those, if we add the difference, then we're going to come up with a number of the total time, because then Moses is what born, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we got to include that 80 years for Moses.
Right.
So let's say that we use the 203. And actually, we did actually figure in that, that time for Moses. To get a clean piece of paper.
I know, huh?
That's bad.
Yeah.
I had to do the same thing.
Like I said, this is just playing with the numbers with what we have in the scripture. So we say Kohath lived 137 years. 133
No,
years.
33.
Yeah, I got it. I corrected myself. Amram lived 137 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this. Let's say that Amram, we know, we say Kohath came in with, he came in with Jacob, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to say that he was a newborn then. That means that he lived for 133 years in Egypt.
Right.
And then he died, okay? Let's say that he had Amram in the 133rd year. So we're going to take 133. We're going to say Amram was born then. And we're just what-ifing again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if he had Amram at in the 133 year, Amram lived for 137 years, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
So if we add those two together, 133 plus 137, 10, 7, we get 270 years.
Mm-hmm.
270 years, okay? Sometimes, let's say that let's say that Moses was born the year that Amram died at 137. Moses leaves and comes back 80 years later, right? He leaves at 40 and comes back 40 years later, so we just add 80 years. Because 80 years later, he delivers the children of Israel. Did I lose anybody?
No. No.
So add 80 to 270.
To 270?
Right, to 270, because that's what we got. We said Amram lived, Kohath lived 133 years.
That's 350
years. 350 years. Is that 430 years?
No.
No.
So we're not coming up with the 430 years that agrees with the scriptures, then, are we?
No,
we're not.
Okay. That's even if we say that Kohath was a newborn when they came, wasn't even a year old, and he lived his whole life in Egypt. And then he had his son the year he died. And his son lived out his whole life in Egypt. That accounted for 270 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say, okay, then he had Moses the year he died. That comes up with 350 years. So we don't come up with 430 years. So that should make us scratch our head. That should make us say, But the scripture says that they sojourned there 430 years. And we can't come up with that even if we max it out.
Nope.
So that presents a problem. Then we can't start the 430 years when Jacob entered into Egypt, because it doesn't come up to what 430 years. We just did that. We used the people that we could find, Kohath and Amram, and we added their number of years together, saying that one was born, lived his whole life there, the next one, and when the year that he died, he had a son. And his son lived his whole life in Egypt. We only come up with 270 years. And then Moses is born the same year that his father dies. 80 years later, Moses delivers the children of Israel. That should come up to 430 years. We're minus 80 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're 80 years off. So there's something's not right there.
Yeah.
So when the Hebrews, my brothers and sisters, say that the 400-year prophecy was fulfilled in Egypt, for slavery and bondage, we can't even get 400 years of any time, 430 years of any time, starting with Jacob. We ain't even talked about how long we were in slavery. We just said this was the total time right here, right? We can account for 350 years. We ain't talking about nothing about how long they were in slavery. If they had been in slavery, any part of that 350 years, we ain't talked about it. Make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, or 15 and 16, tells us when the clock started. The clock started with Abraham. It didn't start with Jacob. Because the truth of the matter is, what's the likelihood? Now, we're just what-ifing again, okay? What's the likelihood that Kohath was an infant when they came into Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
Probably very not likely. It's possible. But if he was older, that would make the time less, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Lost my faith.
Yeah, if we did this and say, oh, Kohath was 30 years old when they came into Egypt, then now we got to subtract 30 years. Now we only come down to 320 years.
Right.
And then if we say, oh, but he had Amram at 50, then that's going to cut another 50 years off. Now we're down to like 170 years.
270.
Yeah, 270.
Yeah, 270 or somewhere in there. So you see what I'm saying? If they are older when they entered in, they only lived a certain amount of time,
right,
according to the scriptures. So if they were older when they came in, then we have to subtract that time because we're giving them the maximum time that they could have been there, that the maximum time that Kohath could have lived in Egypt was 133 years, his whole life. If he came in older, then he lived in Egypt less time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And then he would have had his son, probably, we said he had his son the year he died, but more than likely he had his son way before then. So if we say he had Amram at 60, then we have to subtract those years and say we know Amram lived his whole life in Egypt. Then now we got the total time in Egypt being less than the 350. That's the only point I'm making.
Right.
So we maxed it out by saying Amram lived his whole life, or Kohath hath lived his whole life in Egypt, and Amram lived his whole life in Egypt. We can only come up with 270 years. And then we say, okay, and then Amram made Moses. Moses lived to be, he was 80 years old when he came back and delivered the children of Israel. Then there's only 350 years there. And if we back those periods up, then we will come up with even less time than 350 years. Now, I'm going to tell you what they have done. What all the scholars have done is said that Kohath had Amram at 65 or 66, somewhere in there. And then they say Amram had Moses at 65 or 66. They sort of just said in the middle of his life. Now, we don't know that for sure because it's not written in the scriptures. So they did somewhat supposing.
Right.
They had another source that told them that. But I don't find it in the scriptures. So if we stick strictly with the scriptures, then we have to do somewhat supposing.
Right.
Okay. And if we suppose that Kohath lived his whole life and Amram lived his whole life, then we're falling short on the number of years that the children of Israel were in Egypt to meet the prophecy, to meet what the scriptures say. So then we have to go to Galatians gives us the key. Now we got to go all the way back to who? Abraham. And you have the years given to Abraham and his sons. His son and his sons. They go through that with you in that video, so you can figure it out. So you say, okay. From the time, how old was Abraham when the Most High gave him the promise?
You mean the Abraham? He was
right.
99.
So we know that the count starts when Abraham is what, 99?
99, yeah.
And how old did Abraham live for?
Oh, wow.
And then you got to get his son, right?
Right.
And you got to say, okay, Isaac wasn't born the year that Abraham died, so Isaac was however old when Abraham died, and you start counting from Isaac and then his son. It makes sense?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then you come all the way up to Jacob, and you'll find out that you're going to come up with 215 years. When Jacob, that from the time that the Most High gave Abraham the promise to Jacob going into Egypt was 215 years. By the scriptures, you can prove that because you're given the birth date of all those children that are counted.
Right.
And you're given their birth dates and how long they lived. And when certain events happen. So you can say, okay, 215 years from the time that Abraham received the promise. If that's the case, if the promise was given, here's the deduction. If the promise was given to Abraham, and at year 215, Jacob enters into Egypt, 430 minus 215 leaves what?
215.
So that means that the total time that Jacob and his seed could have been in Egypt, not including Abraham, because Abraham is included in this. That's when the Most High gave the promise. But Jacob and his seed are physically in Egypt another 215 years from that point. Because you can't go over, what, 430 years. Did I lose anyone?
No.
Nope.
So that deduction is kind of easy to make. Said that there are a total of 430 years. We know you can figure it out that from Abraham to Jacob going into Egypt is 215 years. That only leaves 215 years for the prophecy to be what? Complete.
Complete.
That means that Kohath either was not a child when they entered in, and he was, and Amram wasn't born when Kohath died. All the supposing we did would be impossible because we can't go over what?
430 years. Oh, 250 years.
We can't go over a total of 430, but we also know that we already accounted for 215 years.
Right.
We accounted for the first 215, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That means we can't go over another 215 years, because that'll be over 430. So we would have to reduce. We can't say that what Kohath came in when he was a baby, when he was 0 years old, and he had Amram when the year he died, because we come up with 350 years or 270 years doing that. Even doing that, we come up with 270 years. We haven't even included the 80 years for Moses yet.
Mm-hmm.
Is this making sense?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So given what we have in the scriptures, and we're going to always say that the scriptures are true, then for the Most High to say that they sojourned there 430 years, well, we can't get 430 years from the time Jacob entered into the land. But he says that the promise was given to Abraham, and the law was given 430 years after that, then we can say, okay, if you start with Abraham, then you can get 430 years. You get 215 years, and Abraham was in Egypt and in Canaan. That's how, when they went into Goshen, that's how Joseph knew where to put them. Abraham walked there. The Most High said, that's your land. And so he put Israel in their own what?
In their own land.
In their own land he had already promised them. That's why he said they sojourned there. They visited their own land. Mm. That he had already given to them. So now, there came up a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And he put them in hard bondage, made them serve with rigor. How long did that last? That would
hold
be a
up,
question.
Hold up, huh? This was 110 when he died. Hold up. And the mouth starts and stuff.
Did your pencil run out of lead?
Huh?
I said, did your pencil run out of lead?
No. I'm okay. Hold up. Would it be like 115 years?
Possibly. I don't think so. We're not told, are we?
No.
But we can kind of figure it out. Again, doing some what? Supposing?
Supposing. Mm-hmm. Some speculation.
Yep. You just have to use the scriptures and then say, what do we know? And then if we what if this, what can we come up with? And stay within the what? And within the guidelines of the scriptures. We can't go past 430 years. We already know that. Do you think that the whole time that Joseph was alive, that Israel was in slavery?
No. No, they've been going to slavery till after Joseph was dead.
Well, but after all of them were dead, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, knowing that, why wasn't Aaron thrown into the river and killed?
Because he was too old.
Apparently, but how many years older was he than Moses?
Three.
3 years. And I'm just supposing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If Aaron is born, and there's no edict from the king to throw the male children into the river and kill them, the Hebrew boys, then when did he make that edict?
When did he make that decree?
Yeah, when did he make that decree?
Hold up. That's right. You had to make it like about 115. No, it had to be before then. But Joseph died, he was 110.
Okay, so I'm going to give you an easier way, okay?
54 years after that or something?
Yeah, I'm going to give you an easier way that the Most High showed me. Mm-hmm. That's not in that video. So what do we know from the scriptures? Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. and we left off at verse 6. And if you're there at Exodus 1, say amen.
Amen.
And Joseph died, and all his brethren died, and all that generation. Everybody in Genesis chapter 46 that we read about, they are dead. Okay. Amram is still alive, because Amram, Moses, still got to be born, right?
Right.
And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, there arose, now, does it say how much time has passed here between verses? Does it say how much time has passed? Period.
No.
It just says that Joseph died, all his brethren died, and all that generation. And we don't really know. We know that Koheth was in that generation, so he's dead. But Koheth's son is not dead, which is who? Amram. Right?
Right.
Because Amram is Moses' father. So he can't be dead right here. He can't be dead here because he's Moses' father.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. So there's some time going by here. It's covering some time, or it's giving us an overview of something. But we know that from our deductions, well, I'm not even going to say that yet. Now, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And I told you that this was impossible for an Egyptian king not to know Joseph.
Right.
Okay, and we read who it was, what type of king, where he was from, that afflicted Egypt, that afflicted Israel in Egypt. And who were we told he was?
An Assyrian.
He was an Assyrian. He didn't know Joseph. He didn't know Egyptian history. He could have cared less. Okay. And he said unto his people, this Assyrian king said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Now, we know he was an Assyrian. He's saying that to his people, but they're calling them Egyptians.
Egyptians.
Okay, but we know they weren't really, truthfully, technically, who? Egyptian. But they kept the name and the title. So it seems like it's the same old people Joseph was dealing with, right?
Right.
When we say Egyptians, that's what it makes it seem like. But we know that it's not the Egyptians.
Right.
Because we're told that this new pharaoh that afflicted them was an Assyrian. Okay. Come, let us, and I'm just going to say, let us Assyrians deal wisely with them, the Hebrews. Verse 10. Lest they, Hebrews, multiply and come to pass that when there falls out any war, they, the Hebrews, join with unto our, the Assyrians, enemies, and fight against us, the Assyrians, and so get them up out of the land. Because this would not make sense if we know the real story that Israel would have considered themselves to be Egyptian. This is all they knew. They knew that they were supposed to, that they didn't come from that land, but after they've been there 200 years, they got children that are only known this land. Amram only knows this land. Amram don't know anything about living where? In Canaan. He might have heard some stories. But where has he lived his whole life?
In Egypt.
In Egypt. Because all that first generation that knew anything about Canaan, that came into the land with Jacob, where are they at?
They're dead.
They're dead. So all these people been living in Egypt all this time, their whole life. So why would the Egyptians be afraid of them? Why would the Egyptians think that the children of Israel is going to come up against them?
Because they was not Egyptian.
They weren't Egyptian, but they were considered and favored with the Egyptians. They were abhorred by the Egyptians for what they did, but Pharaoh made them what? Gave them the best of the best land?
Yeah.
And made them his what? Royal herdsmen?
Yeah.
So why would Israel ever want to come up against them? And the only reason why they got up, and they really don't have really all that bad a relationship with the Egyptians because they mixed with them. And when we go into, when we look at the Exodus, and you'll see that there were Hebrew women that were married to Egyptian men and vice versa. So they mixed with the people. Even though they were supposed to be, what, an abomination to the Egyptian? Because they were sheep herders?
Right.
When Israel came out of Egypt, was it only Hebrew Israelites that came out?
Nope. It was a mixed multitude.
There were some Egyptians. There were some, we don't even know who all was there.
Might have been some Assyrians, huh?
Right, it might have been some Assyrians. They were black too.
Yeah.
We just know it was a what? Mixed multitudes. Okay. So, even though they were supposed to be separated, they didn't stay separated. The scriptures prove that out itself. We don't even have to, you know, we don't have to suppose that. We're told that this Israelitish woman and this Israelitish boy, this child, and then it tells you who the father was. Father was an Egyptian. The mother was a Hebrew. But they were considered part of Israel, that mixed multitude. Okay. But right now, verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, and of them is the Assyrians, the more they, Israel multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. They, the Assyrians, were grieved. But then it says in verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And it writes it that way for the simple reason that the Assyrian king that took over claimed the land of Egypt, and he claimed the title of Pharaoh. He didn't change anything. It was that glamorous of a title. Egypt was conquered by the Greeks, was conquered by Alexander the Great, by the Romans, the Assyrians, and guess what they all gave themselves the title of?
Pharaoh.
Every one of them. And they kept the name of the land what?
Egypt.
So you're still going to be an Egyptian even though you weren't born there. Even though you conquered it, you're calling yourself what? An Egyptian. So you see what happened here and what's going on in the scriptures?
Mm-hmm. The Assyrians took over.
The Assyrians took over, but said that we are what?
Egyptians.
We're the new Egyptians. That's basically what they did.
Pretty much.
Okay. And they made their lives bitter and hard with hard bondage in mortar and brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them to serve, was with rigor. So from the time that this Pharaoh comes to power, he starts to afflict the children of Israel. Okay. Now, this is telling what he did, but there's some things missing here. So let's read for a minute. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which name was one was Shapharah, and the other was named Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, see them upon the stools, getting ready to deliver. If it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared Elohim and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Now, we don't know exactly when this commandment was given, but we surely don't have anything in here about it happening to Aaron.
No.
We don't have it recorded. Therefore, Elohim dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared Elohim, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, now Pharaoh's charging all who now?
His people.
And it's funny how it words it that way, because it used his a lot. But if you know what he's saying, now he's talking to what? The Assyrians. And Pharaoh charged all of his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So the midwives wouldn't do it, so he went to his own people and said, if you see any Hebrew women having children, if it's a boy, you do what?
Throw them in the river. In the river now.
Cast them in the river. Now, chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now, we know this is now talking about who? Moses?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't have nothing saying that they had to do this for Aaron. We're told what went on.
Right.
We're not told when it started. Now we're told about a specific child. So let's say they had to do this to Aaron. They had to hide Aaron. If the edict came out, if the edict saying to destroy, to kill the male children came out, and when Aaron was born, that would have meant that if it started then, that would have meant that it was only 3 years old when Moses was born. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's say that that's at the worst case, the best case scenario. This new king took over, and Aaron is just being born. He's a boy. Then that would mean that from Aaron to Moses is how many years?
Three years.
That would mean that if we did some supplications, if the edict came out right before Aaron was born, which we're not told that it was, we're not told Aaron, you know, they had to hide Aaron or anything, then the edict would have only been 3 years old when Moses was born. How old was Moses? Because wasn't Moses' sister, Miriam, older than both of them?
Yes.
Yes, was.
Are we told how old?
No.
No.
Okay, so we don't really know how old she was. So let's do some supposing again. Since there's 3 years between Moses and Aaron,
yeah.
Let's say that there's 3 years between Aaron and Miriam. How old would Miriam have been when she was following Moses down the river to see Pharaoh's daughter was going to six? How likely do you think that would be?
Not likely.
That's not likely. You're going to let your six-year-old daughter go follow this baby down the river. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So she probably was older than six. Let's say that she was 12 years old. Maybe you would let that happen. Probably unlikely, though. Because even at 12 years old, you're still kind of young. Now, maybe back in those times, it was considered to be older. Well, we're just, what, supposing. Because we're not really told how much older Miriam is than Aaron or Moses. But we know she's older than them.
Right.
And so you have to say, okay, if it was my daughter, we are up under a captivity. She's 12 years old. She's just starting to bud. And you got this invading force or these men of war running around. How likely would you let your 12-year-old daughter go wander off down the river by herself?
Not likely.
Right.
Anything could happen to her, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that she was probably even older than that. How much older? I don't know. But I would think that, you know, they're in Egypt. If this Pharaoh is in power, even if the Pharaoh ain't in power, you're not going to let your young daughter just go gallivant around the countryside up and down the river by herself.
No.
But then you're in the land and you've been occupied, you've been taken over. The Assyrians don't like you. They like the girls. So the girls keep alive. The boys kill. They want the girls so they can reproduce with them. Your daughter's 12 years old. Would you really let her go running by herself?
No.
Do you understand the process I'm going through?
Yeah.
Empathizing, putting myself in their situation and saying, would I allow my daughter to do that at this age? 6 years old? No. 9 years old? No. 12 years old? No. Now, if she's a grown woman or close to that, maybe. So it doesn't give us an age for her. And we don't know how far down the river she had to go to follow the baby. We don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah, that, right.
But I do know it would have been dangerous. So she probably was older than we may think. And whatever age she is, we still don't know. We know that at the time that she goes looking for Moses to see where he ends up at, that they have been occupied. They have been taken over by the Assyrians. We do know that. So if we say that how long has that been going on? If we assume that it happened right after all that generation died, then let's say, let's assume this. Joseph lived to be what?
147.
100
how old? 110
when he died.
Oh, 10. Joseph was he 137 or 110?
110.
Okay. So if Joseph was 110 when he died, and he was 39 when Jacob came into so he was 39 when Jacob came into Egypt. If he died at 110, that's 71 years. We take the 215 years that we know we're dealing with and take away 71 years. That is 4, that's 11, that's 4. It's 144 years.
144.
So 144 years, if this king that didn't know Joseph came in the same year Joseph died, then that would mean that this thing of them killing Hebrew male children had been going on for 144 years. At the max. But I don't believe that it happened that soon, because there were some children that were younger than Joseph that would have lived after Joseph that came in with Jacob at the same time. So we would have to take off some years from this. I don't think that, however old Koheth was, he never saw this. Because he died, it said Joseph and all that generation, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and I think Koheth would have died after Joseph. If he died after Joseph, then I don't think Amram saw all of this his whole life. Because Amram should have been thrown into the river, right?
Yeah.
All of these sons should have been thrown into the river if this edict was in effect.
Say that again.
All of these, like Koheth, then Amram, should have, if this happened right after Joseph died, then surely Amram would have been caught up in it.
Right.
Okay, but there's no mention of that. And I think that part of Amram's life, it wasn't until Moses and right before that, that Amram even started experiencing this. I don't think he had to go through that with Aaron. I don't think that king came in and took over before Amram was born. So sometime during Amram's life, this edict was put out. So sometime during Amram's life and before who? Moses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there. If we split the difference, if we said Amram had Moses at 65, then let's split the difference and say Amram was 32 when his edict came out. That means that we're saying worst case scenario, 32 years before Moses was born, then there should have been something concerning Aaron. How did all these boys survive? It said that the Hebrew women wouldn't kill the boys, the midwives. Then we come to Moses. So we don't know how long that was. But since it wasn't, I would have think that because of the prominence that Aaron has in the scriptures as being the high priest, being the brother of Moses, I could say I would think that they would have put something in there, that he was saved like that, saved by the midwives. But we really don't have, we only have it at what, Moses' time. And not recorded of Aaron. Now, could it have been during Aaron's time? Could have. But the scriptures don't say it. So we have to what? Suppose that it was. Or we could go the opposite way and suppose that it what? Wasn't. Since it's not recorded, if we say Aaron escaped being thrown into the river, will we be adding to the scriptures? If we say that Aaron escaped being thrown into the river, like all the Hebrew boys were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say that?
No, it does not.
Doesn't say that. We would have to add that in, right?
Yes.
We would actually have to suppose that. We would have to assume that. Because we'd have to say we're assuming that this king was in power, this new king was in power when Aaron was born. But we're not told that. We're not told that. We're only told when it comes to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
So if we stayed with the scriptures, then we would say, before Moses was born, there was an edict that came out that said, kill all the male children. Keep alive the girl children. Because we can witness that in the scriptures concerning his life. We can't witness that in the scriptures concerning Aaron's life or Amram's life. So I think what happens a lot of times is people assume. But what's actually in the scriptures is this didn't start until right before Moses was born. That's what can be supported in the scriptures. We don't have any other Hebrew child, male child, that is documented saying that they were saved from being thrown in the river. Does that make sense?
Yes, it do.
So we can make an assumption that Aaron, you know, escaped being thrown in the river, but it doesn't say that. Can't read it anywhere. And if we went all the way back and said, oh, Joseph and all these people are dead, and this king came to power, we don't know how long he came, we don't know how soon he came to power after Joseph died. But if we assume that it was the same year Joseph died or right after he died, then we got 144 years of slavery to account for. 144 years of what? Oppression. to account for. But I don't think we can prove that in the scriptures. I don't think that even Kohath, he didn't see it, and I don't think his son saw it for most of his life. And truthfully, what I believe that as soon as this king came into power, whenever it was, the children of Israel start crying out, and the Most High caused Moses to be born, their deliverer. Now, let's say that that happened. Let's say that this edict happened after Aaron was born. That means that for less than 3 years, the children of Israel were in hard labor and bondage. And they cried to the Most High. He caused Moses to be born, but Moses wouldn't deliver them for another, what, 80 years?
Right. Yeah.
And in 80 years, they could have built two cities. So it still works. But that's just, that's supposing, because we're not told exactly. Anyway, we didn't cover what we were supposed to cover tonight. So I hope that helps you in your studying. Ask questions. Why doesn't it say this about this child? So forth and so on. I'm going to make a motion, because we're after hours, that we adjourn this meeting. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right, amen. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All right, amen. Anybody opposed? The ayes have it. Tomorrow for Shabbat, we will pick this back up. We'll pick up the same discussion on these questions on during spiritual wellness. Don't take for granted, like I said, we've been doing a lot of what? Supposing?
Mm-hmm.
Do your own supposing.
Yeah.
And just make sure that you got to stay within the what? Scriptures. You can say if it was this age, then this would have been the age of this person, and this would have been the age of that person.
Right.
You can't go outside the scriptures and make it where, you know, it just doesn't work.
If you come up with
147 years for Kohath, then something's wrong. Because you're putting more there than what his life was.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, you got to make sure you stay within the scriptures. And you can what if, because that's how we figure things out, and what could have possibly been and what couldn't have possibly been. Yeah, that's possible for that to happen that way. But no, that's not possible for that to happen that way. It's too much time.
Mm.
That kind of way. So, you know, we can do those things and, you know, stay within the guidelines of the scriptures, what's possible and what's not possible, or else we break the scriptures. And we can't do that. So let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you on this evening for your word, Father. We thank you for guiding us in the scriptures and allowing us to see the possibilities of what is there and what is not there. Father, you have said that we are to prove all things. And so, Father, we went on this exercise to show that in your word, you have said, we were talking about vain philosophies and genealogies and the whatnot. But you have shown by your word that there's no way for our forefathers, starting with Jacob, to be in the land 430 years. The math doesn't work out. And so let your word be true and every man a liar. Then we know that we have to go elsewhere in the scriptures. And Father, so we thank you for your word and for including it in the scriptures that you started this promise with Abraham. And when we use faithful Abraham, then your word becomes true. It proves itself, not becomes true, it proves itself out. And so, Father, we thank you, and we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so we are in discipleship for tomorrow, for Shabbat. And I'll put in the verses when I send it out that we'll be covering. Still got a little bit of ways to go in that. And we're coming up on April, which is going to have Passover, and I want to do the birth of Messiah. We were also working on, maybe I'll do that Saturday evening, what day was Messiah crucified on. We got to finish that up. I need to clean that up. And so we will finish that on Saturday evening. Friday evening, we will be in discipleship, and Saturday morning discipleship. And then we'll do clean up when was Messiah born, I mean not born, but when was he crucified, what day. We'll go through the scriptures and clean that up so that we are for sure. I'm sure we already are, but I want to have it to where it's clean and we don't have to do any guessing, any figuring. Based upon the scriptures, he did not die on Good Friday, but he died on a Wednesday during the day, buried that night, and was in the grave until the end of the Shabbat. And so the pagan holidays don't line up with the scriptures. And then I will do one on when was Messiah born, as per the scriptures and the tabernacle and how they line up. And I want to do that before the 1st of April, so I can't let it get away from me. I want to do that before the 1st of April so that we have that precept up under our belt, so that when we come into the 1st of Abib or 1st of Nisan, whatever month you want to call it, however you want to use the Babylonian calendar or the Hebrew, what the Most High says in the scriptures, Abib, earring, then as we count the days, then we can see the fulfilling of the prophecies and how Messiah fulfilled those things. And we can celebrate them and give the proper respect to them for the work that he did for us, that the Most High did, and how it equates to Messiah today for us. So love you, family. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you, and may they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I can't not love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
All right, have a blessed evening. I hope y'all all
and you also.
Late. Amen. I'm getting ready to go eat right now.
This late?
It's 8:24 for me. I don't know what time. It's about, 10:24 for you?
No, 9:20.
Yeah, this I don't usually eat before a lesson or else I get sleepy. So,
okay.
Amen. You know, I'm that one of those Negroes. You eat and they just get sleepy.
Get sleepy.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I got to fight that. So I eat afterwards on the nights that I, you know, that we meet. All right. Shalom.
All right.
And keep warm up there.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
Without you, there's no me. I need a